Welcome to the Kingdom Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Al Sesson. For more great content, visit klcmaine.com.
James chapter 1. Last week, Pastor Jamie began a series in James, and it's going to be good. You know, in spite of having more Bibles in print and the Bible being more readily available than ever before, I mean, we can access the Word of God on our computer, on our cell phones, not cell phones anymore, our iPhones or whatever they are. But with all of that available, Bible literacy is kind of at an all-time low, and that's a sad thing. And that's one of our missions here at Kingdom Life. My wife posted some time ago on Facebook a picture of a rainbow and talked about the fact that the rainbow is a beautiful promise from God to Noah and to us that he will never destroy the world again with water. And after she posted that, there were several comments, and they sounded like this. Thank you for telling us that we didn't know it. We had never heard that before. You know, just having the Bible in our home, on our coffee table, is not enough. It's important to open it and to study it in context, maybe a chapter, maybe a book at a time, and that's what we're doing here. James, we learned last week, was never Pastor Jamie's favorite book. If you're watching, Pastor, you confessed that to us last week, but it's becoming more and more of a favorite to him. The book of James, five simple chapters, is kind of the New Testament Proverbs, practical teachings, wisdom for living. And I hope that you will get some wisdom as we share some of that today in the message. James will help us to understand this, that faith works if we work it. Amen? Faith works if we work it. Now, let me tell you what I mean. Many of us have in our basements or attics or garages exercise equipment. Anybody got any exercise equipment in their home anywhere? There's been some in our home through the years. We buy it. We're all excited and passionate about getting in shape, you know, getting trimmed down, maybe wearing that bathing suit in our short summer, whatever our reasons. And we start out with good intentions. And then a few weeks go by, maybe a few months if you're really good. And many times, that exercise equipment becomes a place to hang the laundry. It collects dust. Do you know exercise equipment will always work if you work it? By the way, saying amen to a preacher, I said this earlier, is like saying sic'em to a dog. So feel free to amen me. How many know that exercise equipment only works if you work it? Amen. Sitting there in your basement, even coming down and looking at it and gazing at it and maybe reading who made it and sitting on it, it will not help you. It only works if you work it. Yeah, I heard that, darn, Caitlin. We wish it was different. We wish buying it and placing it in the home could get it done. But it doesn't work, and neither does it work with the Word of God. Now, I want to tell you, in fact, I want to just read to you from the Word, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, promises, wherefore, if any man, and that's genderless, be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. Amen? Everyone that's in Christ is a new creature. Faith works. It's not a state of mind. It's an action verb. We are new creatures, and you don't have to behave to believe. But once we believe, it should change our behavior. Amen? I want to talk about James, the book, a little bit. God's order is perfect. Nothing is by accident. And the very first book that was written that's in our Bible, in the New Testament, is the book of James. The book of James, I believe that it shows that the Holy Spirit prioritizes right living. Amen? Practical living. Rubber meets the road kind of living. That's the kind of book James is. It's a rubber meets the road, get to the bottom line, state the facts kind of book. So buckle in. Here are some facts from the book of James, and they will help us. The very first book written. James does not deal with getting saved. That's found in other places. He gets right to the subject of behavior. Amen? That's why the Word of God is balanced. Every book, Genesis to Revelation, very important to us. We should not read one to the exclusion of another. We should not prioritize one verse or one truth above another. It's all important. Can you say amen? The writer, James, jumps right into behavior. Now, why did he do that? Well, before we can really understand the book, let's talk about James, who he was. There are three men named James that are talked about in the New Testament. Two of them are disciples. One of them, this James, the writer of the epistle, is the half-brother of Jesus. After Jesus was born by the Holy Ghost and Mary, Joseph and Mary had four other children. James is the first one mentioned in Matthew 13. When they talk about the earthly family of Jesus, therefore, he was the firstborn. He was the oldest. Now, the disciples that were with Christ got to know him pretty well. I mean, they spent 3+ years walking, talking, sleeping, eating with Jesus. So they knew him pretty well. But James, from the time he was born, grew up with Jesus. Imagine that. I mean, how many middle children do we have? How many folks have older brothers and sisters? I'm the oldest, so I don't, but many of us do. And sometimes when you grow up under the shadow of an older brother or sister, it can be a little challenging, maybe a kind of a pain in the neck, you know, always being compared to them. Well, imagine if your older brother is Jesus. Boy, I wish you were more like your brother. Now, James was not perfect by any means, but he grew up in the shadow of perfection. Even though he did, and listen to this, until the resurrection, all during the ministry of Jesus, James nor his other siblings believed that Jesus was the Messiah. He was not a disciple until Jesus was crucified and resurrected. Think about that. He saw the miracles, he heard the teaching, but he did not accept Christ until after the resurrection. You see, it's the resurrection that changes things. Amen? If we confess with our mouth, Romans 10 in verse 9, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we're saved. Amen? With the heart you believe, with the mouth you confess. That's the verse that many of us use to bring somebody into the family of God. The resurrection is the foundation of our faith. James was convinced that Jesus was the Messiah when he saw him up walking around. He knew who he was. It was his brother. It was Jesus. He was dead. Now he's alive. Wait a minute. Maybe he was telling the truth. And James became a disciple. And then on the day of Pentecost, when all of the 120 went up into the upper room because, remember, Jesus said, don't leave yet, tarry in the city of Jerusalem. There's power coming. Amen. By the way, don't be in a hurry. Never forsake tarrying because there's power coming. Amen. Amanda kept saying, let's wait a little longer. Tim does this all the time. Pastor Tim, let's stay another moment here. Sometimes being patient all the time as it relates to God, being patient wins you the prize. Let's not be in a hurry. We live our entire lives by the clock. But let's not worship God by the clock. Are you there? Amen. They went into the upper room. And just like God promised, the fire fell. I said the fire fell. They were waiting and the fire came. The Holy Ghost came. Tongues of fire. They began to speak with tongues they did not learn. And by the way, believers have been speaking in tongues ever since. Amen. Don't let anybody tell you any different. Amen. A man with experience is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. And as a teenager, God baptized me in the Holy Ghost and gave me a language. Amen. Nobody taught it to me. He gave it to me. I'm just throwing that in. That's a little extra. Doesn't cost you any more. And he got full of the Holy Ghost, and they spilled out onto the streets of Jerusalem. The Peter that denied the Lord in front of a little waitress began to preach, and thousands of people began to get saved. I mean, it was crazy. It was chaotic, but it was amazing. A move of God. That's the kind of move of God that we're looking for. Amen? A move of God that spills out onto the streets where people are getting saved in Walmart. People are getting saved in Starbucks. Amen? People are getting saved in, how do you pronounce it? Hudamaki? Is that right? No, that's a real place. I don't know if I pronounced it right. But anyway, we want to take the message and the ministry out of the building into the streets. Can you say amen? That's God's plan. All these folks getting saved. All these new Jewish believers. They're saved. They believe in God. They're getting filled with the Holy Ghost, but they have no teaching. They don't really know what to do with it. So the leaders got together, and they formed the first council in Jerusalem, and they voted and decided that their first pastor should be James. James, who didn't even believe until the resurrection. He was the first pastor of the first Christian church at Jerusalem. And so James looked around and he saw what was going on. He saw a whole bunch of people with passion, but without teaching. People that loved the Lord and were talking about Jesus, but still had some bad habits. Still weren't really looking like Christ. And that's how this book came into being. That's why he wrote it. He wrote it for practical truth, day in and day out kind of truth. James actually drew a line in the sand, and he said, if you're going to say that you believe, then show me that you believe by your life. You say you have faith, show me your faith by your works. You didn't have to behave to believe, but now that you believe, it should change your behavior. Can you say amen to that? Now, I know we're a grace house, and thank God for grace. Can you thank God for grace? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. If it wasn't for grace, none of us would be in the kingdom because you can't earn the kingdom. Jesus finished the work, and we accept him, and we get into the kingdom. That's how it happens. But James didn't understand it at the time, but he was actually redrawing a line in the sand that Jesus had already drawn. I could take you many places, but in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, there's a very poignant verse. I preach another message sometimes, and I call it the most embarrassing question in the Bible. Here it is. Jesus speaking, and he said, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Wow. Not James, but Jesus. If you're going to call me Lord, then live like I'm your Lord. If you're going to call me Lord, then the things that I teach and preach, the things that you've heard of me, they didn't have it kind of as neat and tidy as we do today. So he's saying to us, if you're going to call me Lord, then let's endeavor to do the things that I say. Amen? Real faith produces genuine works. Many truths in this epistle, but a key truth is this. And James is centered around it. If you believe, then let it change your behavior. Let's read some, beginning in verse 19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of God does not produce the righteousness of Christ. Wow. Swift to hear. These verses, I mean, this is all James. Swift to hear, slow to speak. I like the Message Bible for this verse. It says, post this at all the intersections. Dear friends, lead with your ears. Follow up with your tongue. And let anger straggle along. Straggle. Straggle. If you're inviting me to jog with you, my daughter jogs, my son jogs. If you invite me to jog, I'll be straggling along behind you. I'll come, but I'm going to straggle. God's righteousness does not grow from human anger. Now, this is important to us because we get angry and we like to call it righteous indignation. And we like to think, boy, if they just listen to me, you know. But we have to be careful because it's not always righteous indignation. If we look in the mirror and we really examine it, sometimes it's just people want to live contrary to our agenda. They don't believe what we're saying. They don't agree with us, and we get angry. There's an old cliche. I think Elijah mentioned the word cliche, didn't he, earlier? There's an old cliche that says, God gave us two ears and one mouth. And maybe we need to listen twice as much as we talk. Have you ever been with somebody trying to have a conversation and you couldn't get a word in edgewise? It's happened to me before. April and I were laughing about it just last night. There are some folks, God love them, we love them, but try to talk to them. Try to talk with them. What you can do is listen, but you can't really get a word in edgewise. James is saying we ought to listen more and talk less. In our culture, everybody wants to be heard. I mean, we have social media, and so we can post, and we do, and everybody wants to post, and everybody wants to comment. And we just went through a very serious time with COVID and all of that. And we learned during that time that it's not like it used to be. It used to be that you could disagree, have a different opinion, agree to disagree, have a coffee, and be friends. Pretty hard to do that anymore. If you have a different feeling about politics or about masks or about you name it, people seem to get angry quickly. How come you're such a dummy? How can you say that? Don't you have any sense? And on it goes. Do you know, it's funny, but there are people that are not in church today because of what happened during the pandemic. Because of social media, there's folks that are not in our church because they were offended by things that happened on social media, and that's very sad. But not being offended is another message. We'll talk about that another time. We have to be so careful and not get angry so quickly, because my wrath, my anger, it does not produce the righteousness of God. I said it just doesn't. If I get angry, even if you've done something wrong, and I'm angry about it, if I come to you in anger, Patrick, if I come in anger, it's not going to go well. You're not going to receive me well. In fact, you're a big guy. It might not go well for me. It's not going to go well. Anger does not accomplish the will and plan of God. And so James is saying, come on, guys, listen more and talk less. Let me read a little further, because now I'm getting to the real key, not only of this chapter, but of the book of James. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. That's quite a task by itself. And receive with meekness the implanted word of God, which is able to save your souls. Now, if you mark in your Bible, mark this next verse. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. The NIV says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Anybody look in a mirror this morning? I think you did. You all look really good. Most of you. No. Everybody looks good. Imagine if you get up this morning with bed hair, those of you that have hair, and you looked in the mirror, and, you know, your eyes were all crusty, and, you know, your teeth needed brushing, and, you know, you looked and said, well, I've looked in the mirror, I'm all set, I'm headed for church. Don't sit next to me, please. In 1988, an advertising agency named Weeden and Kennedy, working for a small company at the time, they birthed a three-letter slogan. Over the next 10 years, Paul, it would take that company from $877 million a year to $9.2 billion, billion with a B, in 10 years. Any guesses on what the slogan was? It's the title for this message. The words are, just do it. The company is Nike. Just do it. And that's what I want us to have in our mind as we're thinking about James in this chapter this morning. In the original language, doers looks like this. They spiritually understand it. They gladly receive it. And from the heart, they endeavor to do it, as well as make a sincere profession of it. The latter should not happen till the former is done. It's not enough just to get the talking part done. Amen? We need to do it. Not hearers only. Not barely heard. Not mentally assenting to it. But what is heard should be put into practice. Amen? Can I tell you that the Bible is not automatic? Can I tell you that it contains amazing truth? It's a living word written by the creator of the universe, preserved intact. James is in the Bible because God wanted it to be in the Bible. Amen? I don't know exactly how he accomplished that. We'll find out when we get to heaven. But I believe he's preserved it intact. But just reading it has never changed anybody. Wow, you're going to bristle at that. Just reading the... Here's how I know that. In colleges all across the world, the Word of God is read by professors that don't know the author. It's read and taught as a history book. You know, the principles are taught, but just reading the book by itself never changed anybody. However, reading the book and applying what it says changes everybody. Amen? The Bible is not automatic. It won't make us better people just by looking at it, any more than we'll be ripped, is that what they call it, by owning exercise equipment. What are you laughing at? We need to do it. Now, a great example of this is when Jesus was doing his ministry, he was gracious to everybody, but there was one group that he was angry at. There was one bunch of people that he said bad things about. He called them vipers. He called them whitewashed sepulchres full of dead men's bones. Wow, Lord. That's a bad thing. And you know who they were? They were the scribes and the Pharisees. They were the only ones, really, that had the Bible as it was that day, the Old Testament, the books that had been written. They had it. They read it. They would get together and read it, but they didn't apply it. They didn't know the author. It didn't change their lives. And he got angry about that. He didn't like it very much. The great deception, I'm calling it, is this, that information by itself equals transformation. Now, I believe in education. I think teachers are way underpaid, and I think they're undervalued. I think I grew up at a time when teachers could teach. The Bible was read, and prayer happened before every class. Yes, I'm that old, and so are some of you. I can still see Mrs. Jones with a Bible in hand, opening all the shades as she walked around my classroom and read the Word of God. But information by itself really doesn't change anybody. It didn't change the scribes and the Pharisees. The Bible is the most valuable book and resource on the planet. Can I have an amen? The promises of God that are in here are for whosoever will. God wants so much more for us than we have, and he wants it for the whole world. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All of those loved ones that you're praying for and believing God for, the only one that wants them saved more than you is him. Amen? He made them, just like he made you, and he wants them in the kingdom more than you want them in the kingdom, because we are all his children. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. But it's not automatic at all. The great deception is that just information will get it done. Now, I know that that's not true for a whole bunch of reasons. I know that looking in a mirror doesn't make you better looking no matter how long you look. I have always envied my son-in-law's hair and beard. That's him at the end. Make him uncomfortable. Look at him. I've always thought, God, how come you love him more than me and gave him more hair and a thick beard? Looking in a mirror by, I don't know why I said that, by itself, I'm sorry, those that are watching live stream, but he does have good hair and a good beard. looking in the mirror by itself will not change anybody. I know that information by itself doesn't work. Here's how I know. Another reason. I still eat cheeseburgers, French fries, K occasionally. And we have information that tells me that's not the healthiest thing to eat. Potato chips? What's your favorite? I'm not going to ask you, but I know because the Surgeon General a long time ago decided and came out with the fact that smoking cigarettes can cause lung cancer. They had to make the word can, you know. In fact, they print it and put it on the packages. So we have all that information, but people still smoke. Are you there? And we could go on. Information by itself isn't enough. It's information plus application that equals transformation. It's getting on that piece of equipment and biking or walking or lifting or whatever it is you're supposed to do on it. That equals transformation. Amen? It's getting on, a healthy diet and sticking to it and not cheating. I think the fun thing is to do all the diets at once, Atkins and all the rest of them. That way you can eat everything. To get something different, we must be willing to do something different. Amen? Our churches, sadly, are filled with people looking in mirrors. Now, how many know this is the spiritual mirror? In the Old Testament tabernacle, it was the laver. That's what this is. It was a place that before you got into the Holy of Holies, you stopped and you washed, and you could see yourself in the bottom of the laver so you could get all the junk off before you went into the Holy of Holies. This is the laver. This is the mirror. And God wants us to look in the mirror. But he also wants us to react and respond to what we see. Information gives me context. It lets me know what needs to be changed. I believe that when we get saved, things need to change. We don't have to behave to believe. But once we believe, we need to behave. Amen? We need to know what Jesus meant when he said, love me and love your neighbor as yourself. We need churches that love each other. Amen? I said we need churches that love each other. We need places like Kingdom Life. If you come in here and leave without your hand being sore from handshaking, something's wrong. Amen? This is one of the most friendly congregations I've ever been in my whole life, and I've been in a lot of them. Church should be the friendliest place in town. I'm sick and tired of Cheers being the friendliest place in town. No wonder people want to go to that bar because they're friendly. Amen? People are looking for connection. They're looking for friendly. Love God and love your neighbor. Maybe they're not saved yet. Maybe they don't look like they're supposed to look. Maybe they're still addicted or still in bondage. That's why we love them. We love them into the kingdom. Can you say amen? They're not less than we are. They're like we were before Christ, B.C. Praise God. Amen. Do you know people can't resist love? I said they can't resist it. That's why Jesus could preach whatever he wanted. He could say hard things because people knew that he loved them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When you and I come into proximity of Christ, it will elicit a change. I don't have time to preach about it, but I was thinking about the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. The train of his robe filled the temple. He was in the presence of God. And then look at verse number 5. Isaiah was in the presence of God, and this is his response. He said, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. When you and I are in the presence of God, it will elicit a response. He is holy, and I'm not. He is perfect, and I'm not. God, make me more like you. I love the old chorus, Adam, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask is to be like him. Amen? That's our goal, not to be like a man, not to be like what a denomination says you should be like, but to be like Jesus. That's our goal. Amen. It needs to elicit a response. Sometimes we look in the mirror and we're self-deceived. Do you like to watch American Idol tryouts? People that have looked in the mirror, but they haven't listened. And I like the raw tryouts where they come in off the street and they really feel like they can sing. I mean, my goodness, has anybody ever played them a recording of them singing? And they get on American Idol, Tim, and they start to sing. And I'm thinking, don't give up your dishwasher job. Go back there and beg for it back. Being self-deceived, that's a scary thing. Remember, maybe that was too hard. Was that too much? I got my kids here. They let me know. They tell me the truth. Believe me, I make mistakes. I'm going to hear about it this afternoon. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Some of you may be unsure as to the value of James. You, like Jamie talked about last week, you know, and he read about what Martin Luther thought James was like, but now, as a pastor and a believer of many years, Jamie acknowledges there's great value. There's great value in all the books. Obviously, the book of James has great value. If you're a little wondering, if there's still a little doubt that maybe it's not as important as too much about doing stuff. You know, I like to be tickled, but I don't really want to do things. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, in verse 24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, wow. If you do them, I will liken you to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Jesus associates hearing and doing what he said with building your life on a rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Hello? And the rain came and the flood came and the winds blew and beat on the house. And guess what? It fell down. And great was its fall. Jesus is teaching here that we must not just hear, but we must do in order to be transformed. While somebody's coming to the keyboard, let me just share practically how we move from information to transformation as we close. First of all, we receive with meekness. Verse 21. Meekness. Charles Spurgeon said, the first thing then is to receive. The word receive is a very instructive gospel word. Receiving is the door through which God's grace enters into us. We are not saved by working. I would get an amen from that. I said, we're not saved by working. Amen? Not by what we give to God. We're saved by receiving, by what God gives to us and what we receive to him. Meekness, it has the connotation of patience and submissiveness. God, whatever you say, I'm going to submit to it. I say yes, Lord, before you say it. Wow. Can you pray that way? Can you get before the Lord and say, God, whatever you're going to say, I already say yes to it. But he might ask me to do something that I can't do. That's not going to happen. He's God. He made us. He knows what you can do. Go ahead. Play me some getting done, Pastor, music. I said he knows what we can do. Do you know he knows you better than you know you? Man, he knows you better than your wife. Wow. I didn't know anyone knew me better than my wife, but he does. We need to respond after we hear. Back to those three words, just do it. Although it might seem that God is asking me to do something that I can't do, that's just the enemy lying to you. Now, how many here have been saved 20 years or longer? Just wave it real quick. Okay, let me ask you this. To be honest, has God ever asked you to do something that he didn't give you the strength and the power to do? To do it, to accomplish it? Of course not. He said, Paul said to the Philippians, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I'm sick and tired of just sitting in a service where all the preacher wants to do is tickle my ears. That doesn't happen here. But I can tell you the church at large is sick and tired of just sitting there and being tickled. Now, I know it feels good to hear, boy, you're handsome, you're good looking, you're good at this and you're good at that, and boy, you're a good Christian, and man, everybody ought to be like you. That's not anything I've heard, but listen to me. That doesn't grow us. That doesn't stretch us. God wants us to stretch. He wants us to be more tomorrow than we are today. He wants you to pray more with more results tomorrow than today. Amen? He wants the kind of prayer that shakes heaven and earth. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man that avails much. Amen? And he'll stretch us. He'll give us reasons to pray. It's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. Going from information to transformation, it's like raising a human. A lot of babies here. And I love babies. Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But then I became a man. A grown-up. It's a process. The last two verses in James chapter 1 talk about living right, talk about true religion, visiting widows and orphans, keeping ourselves unspotted from the world. Those are kind of tests about whether it's just information or have we been transformed. Amen? God wants to take what we have out into the world, and that happens as we're transformed. Could we stand together? Praise the Lord. Can you repeat after me the words, just do it? Come on, ready? Just do it. Amen. Just do it. My advice on this Memorial Day weekend is read the word and just do it. Well, I've tried, Pastor, and I failed. Failure is not defeat. Did you know that? The righteous man falls down but gets back up again. You won't always get it right. I don't always get it right. No one gets it right all the time. But we just get back up. We get on our knees and ask the Lord for help. And we try again.